How are you? Good. I see nowadays, maybe it's because of the time, but the Afrikaans service is packed, full. It's less people at the English. It's funny. No, it's not funny. It's strange. Soon we'll have a third service in the evenings. We need people to preach. Yeah, today's different. Soon we'll have a third service in the evening. I'm looking forward to that third service. That means I'll be able to surf every Sunday morning. The Richard says amen, and Mark said amen. The rest was like, what? You want past? Or you want to go surfing? Yes, I do. Those of you who haven't seen, the wind normally blows in the afternoon, and it's a bad wind for surfing, so I'm very happy. I'm going to come to evening services and surf in the morning. But I will come to church, don't worry. Okay, I just want to talk about a very basic topic this morning. I really feel it is from God, and it is basically something that God has, let's say, reignited in my life since the men's camp. You didn't get a lot of information on that one night in the desert, 1st of August, I think, Friday. So maybe I'll give you some information on that. Jaco said he wants to do a follow-up on the men's camp, but it is definitely not only for the people that were at men's camp. It is for all the men. So that 1st of August, that Friday night, I think the venue is 95% sure it will be at Gwani Kontis. That's just outside Swakop. You don't need a 4x4. You just need a car to get there. And he said he'll sponsor. I think that's what he said. He'll sponsor a lamb. Is it a lamb? A lamb. Scarf. So you don't even have to bring food. That's what he said. And it is just for all the men to talk on how do we feel God wants us to take forward what he did for us at the men's camp, what he has been talking to us about at the men's camp. But it is for all men. If you weren't at the men's camp, this is a great time for you to get there. It is just that evening, a barbecue or a braai, and the next morning, 10 minutes drive, you're back at home. It's not a whole weekend thing. It's just one evening. So all the men, please try and... And this, Jaco wants to talk about things, how you think we should take it further, how we should make sure that God, what God started, he brings to fulfillment in our church. Amen. So that was for that. And I'm talking about something that happened again to me at the men's camp, and I want it to happen to you. And it is called repentance. Now, normally when we hear this word, even the Bible, I think the first scripture I'm going to read, yes, it speaks, this is a fundamental, elemental, in other words, one of the first things as a Christian you encounter. You can't become a Christian if you don't encounter this. If you don't experience repenting before God of your sins and asking him to forgive you. That's what repentance means. He says, Lord, I see I'm going in the wrong direction. I see I'm not in right standing with you. I'm walking along a path that is not from you. But I want to turn around and walk where you want me to walk. That's what repentance literally means. It's to say, okay, I'm walking here. No, this is the wrong way. Turn around and walk. That's what repentance means. So one can't be a Christian without repentance. But I think we fall into a trap, and that is that repentance is also a process. So we sometimes think, well, I've repented. That's it, finished and klar. No, God wants us to repent constantly. And there's, if I was in your seats, the word repentance, for many of us, I believe, is a bit of a negative thing towards it. It's like, ouch, no, I don't like that word. I don't want to repent. I don't have to repent. But I want to change, hopefully, God will change it this morning, that your experience of hearing the word repentance, your experience of wanting to go through repentance, wanting to go through with God through a situation in your life where you bring things and lay it down, it must be positive. It shouldn't be negative. If it's negative, I'm telling you the devil is messing with you. And I want God to change that. Firstly, just a couple of things I felt I must share on how do we know that we're at a stage in our life where God needs to help us again. How do we know? What are some of the things? I'm not saying it's all of it, but these were just the things that stood out for me, and I'm going to mention them. So how can you measure this morning in your life and constantly measure, not only this morning, okay, I need to bring this before God and ask Him to forgive me, ask me to work through this. How do you know that? First thing is, there are some dead works in your life. Hebrews 6 verse 11, therefore let us not leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So that first scripture says it's the elementary doctrine, this repentance, but it says a little bit more from dead works. So what is dead works? I don't know if you grew up like I did. This thing is like cemented into my brain. I understand it. But maybe you didn't grow up like me. I grew up in a religious environment. Although my parents were not... Okay, I need to explain all of this. Religious means... Because many people say, "But why is religiousness bad?" Because they think religion is like you believe in a God. And so, what I mean with religiousness, and you'll hear it, church people speak about it all the time, it's that going to church, everything, but it's dead. There's no life behind it. So it's not what really what God meant religion to be, our relationship with Him. That's not what He meant it to be. So that's when I speak about religiousness, it's that dead things that one goes through, but it doesn't really bring life. Now, I grew up like that, although my parents really were amazing. I realize it more and more. But so I go to church and all that stuff, but this dead stuff. I do all these things, and the Bible says, I want you to repent of those dead works, because what it means is, you cannot do anything to achieve my stamp of approval. You do things once you've given your life to me, and you realize that I've already given you the stamp of approval. That's good works. It's the opposite. So this scripture says, repent from those dead works. And sometimes we fall back into that, into that category of life. I can ask you this question. Who of you, you're a leader of a small group, or you're a leader of the worship team, or you're somewhere in church, you're doing something, and at some stage it feels like, I have to do this again. It's not like, I want to do this. I can't wait to do this again. That is a symptom of dead works. Because God never wants us to fall into that thing like, oh, I need to do this again. It's dead. He doesn't like it. I'm not saying stop all of that. But repentance, God will help you to get that freshness back into that thing. Where you bring that thing before Him, whatever it is you're doing for Him, and says, Lord, breathe some life into this again. But I know I've repented from dead works. This feels dead. And then God can change it. So if you have such things, frustrations, spiritual frustrations, it's a place where we can come to God and say, Lord, what is it? Are you still here with me? Okay. The second thing is, how do we know that God wants us to work through a process of repentance? Is we lose our first love for God. Revelations 2 verse 4, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Okay, well, I wanted to start off by saying, I believe I'm talking to, you're in one of two groups this morning, and God is speaking to both groups. Somebody, you might be in a group where you don't know God yet, and if you're here, praise God, you're here. We want, this church should be, all the empty seats should be full of people like that, because we want to bring the good news of God to them. But God is also speaking to people that already know Him, because repentance doesn't stop when we become a Christian. So I want you to, as you sit and listen to the Holy Spirit where He is revealing to you. I'm speaking to you about this. I'm speaking to you about this. One of the things is we lose our first love for Christ. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but if the Holy Spirit convicts you, sometimes we just know we're not so, our relationship with God is not exactly where it should be. Those are signs that we need to come before Him so that He can restore us. The third one, I don't have scripture there, and because it really touched me again on this men's camp, is our love for God's Word. I did bring my Bible. Where is it? Just reading the Word of God, it fades. It's like it's something you have to do. That's not from God. To feel like that about His Word is not from God. We need to search Him and say, Lord, what is this? Why is it like this? And I just don't want to lose what I got at that men's camp. And that is, again, a love to read His Word. Yes, I can do it out of discipline, and it will require discipline. But that need to say, no, I'd rather skip breakfast and read the Bible. Woo! I don't want to lose that. I haven't skipped breakfast yet, so it's fine. But that's what God wants. What does the word repentance mean? The Greek word is metanoia, and it means the following. To have another mind, to change one's mind, attitude, and purpose regarding sin. It expresses the radical change in one's attitude towards sin and God. And I want to emphasize, it's the attitude towards sin and to God. We're talking about repentance. Firstly, Psalm 51. Please read that. If you want to prepare for this week's sermon, for small group, this week's small group, you can forget everything I said this morning. Just read Psalm 51 and let the God speak to you about Psalm 51. It's a beautiful psalm of David just coming before God again. I'm not sure. I didn't check where it was in his life and what happened there. But becoming before God, and you can see this process of repentance. God is working with him again. And what does David do? Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. David, so many times, man, David made a lot of mistakes. But one thing he did do is when he realized those mistakes, and it probably took him time also every now and then, but then he realized, I need to repent towards God. I need to bring this before God. And that's, repentance is not so much, it is confession, we'll get to that later. But it's not like you have to come and please me, like how much you confess and repent. It's not that, it's towards God. Because the crux of the matter is, our relationship with Him is influenced. And we need to realize that, and then we come to Him and say, Lord, this thing, I'm repenting, I'm bringing it before You, because it's influencing negatively my relationship with You. And repentance is towards God primarily. I still remember how I became a Christian. And it was through a book that I read. But all I remember is I felt so bad because I let God down. And all I wanted to do that evening is to set that straight. I wanted to get it out of the way. I wanted to say, I'm sorry, God. That's how I got saved. I said, sorry, God. But it came with a conviction, realizing, I'm not in right standing with Him. Repentance must be towards God. And the next thing is, how many of you, repentance cleanses? I want to ask you this question, because I know I go through it quite a lot. How many of us come to church, and as the pastor preaches, or whatever, as the word is preached, you experience this internal fight in your spirit? It's like, that word's not for me. I'm not guilty of that. I'm okay. But something tells you you're not okay. But this fight is constantly your flesh trying to tell you okay, and the spirit saying you're not okay. Who have you gone through that? In church. Oh, praise God. Am I preaching to myself? And you know what? Our response can be, when we're like that, we can have pride in our hearts, and we say, it's not us. It's not me. I'm not wrong. And guess what? You'll not receive anything, because God's not going to kick down that door in your life. Or we can have a humble heart and a humble approach and say, I just want to stop this internal fight. It's me. And then you'll receive. John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think our reaction towards God when he exposes something in our lives, is directly related to what we, how do we see him? Yes, we know he's a father, but do we know what a good father is? Because for those of you who've experienced, if when you do repent and God deals with something in your life, how do you feel afterwards? How did I feel after that men's camp where I could just repent to God of everything in my life? I felt so clean. I felt so nice. I felt so warm and fuzzy inside. But we only react, and this is what the devil does. He wants to create that negative thing. He wants to block that goodness of God completely out, and then we don't repent. But if we have a clear image of who he is, how good he is towards us, I'll get to that scripture now, then it's like, I can't wait to repent. I can't wait to come before him and lay this before him, because he cleanses me. He makes me feel nice and fuzzy. And I don't want to use this nice and fuzzy word, but we walk around with so many baggage in our lives that God wants to remove quickly. He doesn't want us to go through 6 months of psychological treatment, etc., etc. He wants us to come to on our knees before him and repent. And then he removes it all. In an instant. Are you with me? Repentance cleanses. And I love it. I made almost a promise. I know I shouldn't promise God things. So I don't know. I'm going to try and promise. That at least leaves the back door open. That if I make a mistake, I'll say, I said I'll try to promise. But when I was at this men's camp, let me tell the story now. Some of you have heard it, some of the story. But it was a Friday night. I got there, we had something to eat, and I started this stomach ache. I could not sleep 1 second that evening. Maybe a second. But I don't know if I slept. I just remember waking up, and I thought, I've never slept so little in my whole life in one evening. I'm telling you, I did not sleep. I had this stomach ache. People prayed for me. I didn't get better. I was in the worship service that morning, and I had to sit down because my stomach was just... And during the worship, well, I don't know if it was in the worship, the stomach disappeared. I didn't have it anymore. And then I could actually listen to Sias, what he wanted to say. But I think that was from God, and I'm so thankful I had that stomach ache. Because you know why? Because it left me a broken man that morning. It broke down some of the physical boundaries that I built around myself. It broke it down. I wasn't up for a fight with the Holy Spirit. I didn't have energy to fight with him. I just surrendered. Praise God for that sleepless night. Because I remember as Sias is talking, it's like I've got this internal battle within me. Because you know where this is going when Sia starts talking. You know stuff's going to happen now. We're going to repent and you know it. And then I'm like, but it's not for me. I'm okay. And then at some stage I was like, listen, I'm not going to fight this fight anymore. It's for me. And I can't wait for the altar call because I'm going forward. And that's when I could relax. And I felt so relieved. After that, I said, God, please keep me in this position always. That's what I kind of wanted to promise, is that if there's any doubt if this sermon is for me and I should go forward and repent of something, then I'd rather go than fight. Because I'm just the one missing out. So this word is to you, to all of us this morning. And I think it's because we live in a, I don't know if that's the only reason, but because we live in a Western world, we always have to put up, close our emotions and box it, and we'll have to look perfect, and we come with that box to Christ. And now this box keeps me from his blessing. I want to get rid of these boxes. I want you to get rid of your boxes so that you can receive Christ, experience him constantly. That when he speaks to us a word about, my child, I want this in your life to change. And it's not like 6 months and 5 people need to prophesy it into your life and 3 angels must appear. No, we sort it out this morning because God has spoken this morning. Romans 2 verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? The devil steals this picture of God from us. It is only his goodness that makes me turn to him. We're going to get to the next one. Conviction or condemnation. What's the difference between conviction and condemnation? What do you think? Because I actually don't have such a clear definition in my mind. I just think I know. What's the difference? Amen, Carol. And condemnation? So, if there's a sin in one's life, what will my question be now? Will there be conviction and condemnation? Or could there be both? Conviction, like the scripture says, and when he has come, you will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Conviction speaks about the Holy Spirit, the scripture. This conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Condemnation comes from the devil. And when I prepared this sermon, I really felt I must share this. There might be people here or more than a person or more than one person. Is that if we have done something wrong in our lives, or no, let's start over. I believe there's somebody here that you've got both in your life. There's something wrong in your life. You're not in right standing. There's a mistake or a sin or a something, or you've done something. And now you've got conviction and condemnation. But because you don't deal with conviction, what does conviction require? It requires that thing that God shows the mirror into your life and says, that issue, can we please deal with that? And then you decide, yes, Lord, please, I'm sorry. That's conviction. Father, I want to change. You repent, and he removes it. You know what? He removes also the condemnation. Sometimes he doesn't, but he then says, but now do you accept that I've forgiven you? Why are you condemned? You're not condemned. I forget your sin. Move on. But because we don't deal with the conviction of God in our lives, now you've got conviction and condemnation in your life. No one kills you. Well, it actually both kills you. That conviction is like, ugh. But at least it should draw you to Christ. And then if you confess, then you can also get rid of the condemnation. But if you don't repent before God, you'll have the condemnation. It will stay there because the devil has a foothold to speak to you. And I believe there's people like that this morning. And all that God wants is, listen, I don't want to pick on you and have a long CV of your sins up here in church. I just want you to have freedom. Can we just get rid of this thing so that my power can flow through you? But the devil will keep you there. You'll feel condemned there in your house. You don't talk to anybody about it. That's what he wants you to be. I'm exposing it. And I'm saying that's not where God wants you to be. He wants you to walk in freedom. Okay, something practical. How do we position ourselves to be convicted? Practical things. What can you and I do so that we get and place ourselves in positions where we are convicted? Because it's easy to run away from conviction. Just don't come to church. Just don't pray. Just don't read the word. I've given you the answer. How do we position ourselves to be convicted? It starts personally with you reading this word. With you praying, with you having some sort of worship in your life, and not only doing it during church. Do you know that half of prayer should be listening? One half is you talking, God, please help me. The other one is, what are you saying, Lord? We do very little of the second part where we listen. I'm going to tell you this joke just to lighten up the vibe. But sometimes my wife talks to me. She's not, you know, she's out. That's why I can say it. She's in America. Poor. You know, women can multitask. Men can't, and I definitely cannot. So then I'm like, she's talking to me, but I'm thinking about something else. And then, but she, hopefully by now she can see. I'm not listening. You know, when you look at somebody and you're like, okay, no, he's not listening. He's like, he's not there. I'm very good with that. Then, you know, information gets lost. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what's wrong in my house. I'm joking because it's not that bad. But it's like, I said this. And I said, you didn't say that. I didn't hear that. When did you say that? And then she's like, but it's most of the time because I can't multitask. So I'm thinking about something. She's telling me something. And I'm like, I'm going to have to pay that bill. All right. Hopefully she'll get the wisdom every now and then to see that when I've got this glassy look, I'm not really listening. I can't multitask. Mark said in the first service with the worship, he said, let's clap our hands. I said, like, Mark, okay. If it's an easy clap, I can clap and sing. But when it becomes like a, these guys are good with it. If it becomes this and singing, then I'm like, I stop one of the two. I either do just this and my mouth shuts, or I sing and I can't do both. I can't. Drums, I tried. I love drums, but I can't play here, and then my feet must have another rhythm. The one stops. Anyway, so half of prayer is listening to God. How do we position ourselves to be convicted? We're talking about that. Pray, worship, read the word. Go to small group. Come and sit in a church service like this. In worship, listen to God. Listen to the word. But pride gets in the way. Don't let pride get in the way where you can't and don't want to listen to God. We've all been there. Let's not make the mistake. Repentance comes by conviction. Repentance leads to salvation. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Not being regretted. Not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. We should have regular sessions of salvation in our life. Amen. Regular men's camp encounters. It doesn't have to be at a men's camp. It can be in your house. Where you're meeting with God. Repentance leads to salvation. I need to be saved for sins and mistakes every day. I am the one that blocks this river of salvation. If you want it to sound spooky. But I'm the one that blocks this constant salvation that God wants to wash me with. I'm going to get to that. Washing. I just want to mention this. I think it's important to mention. I've realized that that's a mistake, and it's a bad mistake of older Christians, people that have been Christians for a while. You can be young and an old Christian. But I've realized lately that we've got a lot, and that's amazing. But we, the ones that know Christ for a little bit longer, we're at fault. There are a lot of people that don't know very basic things about the Bible and about God. Like I did, or like I didn't know. For instance, stuff like this, repentance and just salvation and baptism and stuff like that. Because I pick it up when we talk about things, and I expect everybody knows as much as I do. And I'm not bragging. I don't know that much, but I just know a few things. But then I realize, no, some people don't. And I'm like, but we have to wake up as leadership and identify younger Christians. What are we doing with younger Christians? Are we helping them to get through this? And you know what I want to say is our Bible school. We're talking about it. We're working about it. We're praying about it. But a lot of things, this constant salvation, deliverance from God in our lives, I've experienced and I'm walking in because I went through Bible school. Because there's certain basic things that I've acquired by studying God's Word. Bible school in our church is important, people. There's more on that to follow. Don't worry. We've got a plan. Repentance brings deliverance. I'm trying to make you think about Bible school. I'm trying to, if you haven't done it, can you see what I'm trying to do? Sneaky, huh? But it's good. I want you to think about it. Salvation brings deliverance. I'm almost there, people. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I want to also say that repentance, like I said it a little bit earlier, repentance sorts out so many things in our lives so quickly. I heard it, I don't know if I heard it about this men's camp or whatever, but somebody, a wife, a man walked back into his house and the wife said, no, I, you changed. I don't know what happened, but you changed. That's because repentance takes so much baggage off our shoulders. It changes so much so quickly. Because it opens a channel of God to speak into your life. It opens that free flow of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't require, I remember this, anyway, it's a long story, but God's not a God that keeps stuff against us and then He's like, okay, you did this, it's going to take 6 months before you're back to normal with me. No, He doesn't work like that. It's like any dad with a little child. If you get a hiding, It's just like, okay, are we finished? I love you. Come, let's go play. It's not a story of now it's going to be six. This is going to air. Luckily, I think we can't. We can't give children hidings anymore in this country. Shame. Anyway, where was I? God restores quickly. Repentance does that. Repentance, my son, we don't have to go through a thesis and you have to study your mistake and understand where it comes from. I just want to get rid of it so that we can go on and play. Sorts out so many things so quickly. It requires confession. And my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord and you forgive the iniquity of my sins. It requires confession. I want to, obviously, like I've said, firstly, it requires confessing towards God. I want to challenge some of you. If there's certain things you struggle with in your life, you're going to have to confess that to a believer that you trust, that you know you can trust. Just for that thing to come into the light so that Satan can stop having a stronghold on you. It requires confession. Amen. Malachi 3 verse 2 to 3. I want to say there's a two-part thing that happens to us with repentance that explains God's character to us a little bit. Firstly, he wants to refine, like the scripture says, Malachi 3 verse 2 to 3. But we're so afraid of this refining process because it requires heat. Refining gold and silver requires lots of heat. Heat, and then it melts, and then all the ugly, dirty stuff floats, or you can at least swipe it away, and then you've got pure gold, pure silver. Now, don't tell me that it's a pleasant experience for silver. It's heat. So yes, it does require this fight between the flesh and the spirit, but that's not God's ultimate aim. Malachi 3 verse 2 to 3, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like Fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. But Jeremiah 8 verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? God is asking, is there no physician there? In Afrikaans it actually says, is there nobody that heals? Am I not the one that heal? When it speaks of the balm of Gilead, it was some ointment they used. It was just a nice ointment, nice plaster, that could take, that used it to heal, not heal wounds, but put on wounds, because it would then heal that wound or cure that wound. Now, Jesus, God is asking, am I not that person? Am I not the one that actually wants to heal? Am I not the physician, the doctor? Yes, I am. So my heart is, yes, the refining process to heal. His heart is not for us to be in the fire all the time. His heart is for us to go into the fire, get refined, so that we can be pure and healed on the other side. Many times we just put bandages on stuff that hasn't been healed properly. And God says, I want to deal with that thing. I use the example of, it's like an apple tree. Apple tree is not, maybe not a great example, but now we're treating the symptoms. I don't want apples. These apples are killing me. We're plucking the apples. And God's saying, no, let me help you. Can I just cut this tree out? Because then the apples are going to stop. That's what God wants to do. He wants to deal with things in our lives through repentance, that he can remove stuff in our lives. God is committed to a process in your life. Although it might be painful every now and then, it is for your healing. Amen. I'm almost finished. Last two scriptures. Is there somebody that can play something? Not you. Okay, that's fine. It's all right. Well, Clarence is there. Clarence, you can. Okay. I'm almost finished. It requires a broken heart and a humble vessel. Now this can, let me read the scripture. The Lord is close to those who are of a broken heart and saves such as are crushed with sorrow for sin and are humbly and thoroughly penitent. The Lord is close to those who are of a broken heart and saves such as are crushed with sorrow for sin and are humbly and thoroughly penitent. That scripture is Psalm 34:18. I want to say that this scripture, I think the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. I want to say, I think it means two things. The Lord is close to people that are broken, people that have experienced pain in their life, whatever form it might be. He's close to them. He's there for them. He wants to sort out the pain. But I also believe, and the scripture explains it quite nicely, the Lord is close to those people that are His children that also have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, crushed with sorrow for sin, and are humbly and thoroughly penitent. Lord, sorry, we did that. Sorry, this is not right in our lives. God is close to those people. I want Him to be close to me all the time. But it requires for me to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It requires for me to want to go through repentance every now and then, because He's not going to do it. He's not going to force Himself in there. Are you a broken vessel? How often are you broken before God? How often can He speak to you? And not because He wants to make a scene or an issue out of it. How often can He talk to you? And I know the answer in my life is not very often. Because I come to church with this attitude, it's not me, I'm not wrong, I'm fine. I want to stop that. And that has stopped in my life. And I want to never start again. That when this, when I feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit in my heart, that I don't fight it. I don't want to fight it. I'm losing. I'm losing out. Matthew 11 verse 29. Luckily we've got a God that is the perfect example. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That word lowly, other translation says, I'm humble in heart. And then 1 Peter 3 verse 8, finally all of you, speaking to Christians, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. A humble mind. Humility, broken vessel, humble vessel means it's just, it's not one that we've built up walls around ourselves. It's one that says, I'm going to stop pretending. Didn't Jan Kort say a while ago that growth is not always, a growth in church is not always measured in numbers. How many, 20 more people. That does not, it's not necessarily even good growth. If we haven't grown in our depth relationship with God. Where we're a church that when He speaks, we say sorry. Quickly. Because we love Him. We know His heart. That's true growth. Then the other growth comes automatically. Because the world out there is looking. They want this. This repentance where they can go, come before God and say, I'm sorry, Lord. And then they receive that Father saying, come on. It's fine. It's fine. Can we stand? I want us to just bow our heads and close our eyes. If God is speaking to you, and I know He's speaking to a lot of us, and you want to come before Him, and maybe you don't know Him. In other words, it could be that you come before Him the first time, but maybe you do know Him, and this morning He's just telling you, my child, I don't just see my heart here. I don't want you to struggle with this repentance thing. I'm on a roller coaster ride with you. And you decide to get off this roller coaster every time this pride creeps into your heart. I want you to get rid of pride so that we can deal with things. And you know what? Christ actually calls us to walk in good works. He wants to get rid of the dead works in our lives. But there's so much good works that is planned and predestined for us to walk in. Pride stops it around every corner. If you want to this morning just confess that, and I'm not necessarily even going to pray with you, but if you want to confess any of those things in your life, in other words, you want to come and repent before God, there's anything in your life, I just want you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Just come forward and stand here, and we're going to pray with you. I want also this fear of man, where we always think what our brother thinks about this, I want that to be broken now in Jesus' name. I'm not afraid of man in Jesus' name, Father. We're not afraid of man, Father. We're afraid of you in Jesus' name, Lord. We're afraid of you. Speak to us, Father. Speak to us. If you're standing here this morning in front, just in your own words, tell God what's on your heart. He's speaking to you. Keep our eyes closed and heads bowed. If anybody here in front that you want to receive Christ for the first time, maybe you're here for that. Is there anybody like that? Just raise your hand quickly. I'll pray. Come and pray with you. Anybody for the first time? Okay, Father, we thank you for these lovely people. Lord, I just pray that your presence will go with them. Let's just stretch our hand out to them. Father, thank you that you bless us with a humble heart. We want to be broken vessels. Humble vessels, Father, and not broken in the sense that we walk around with pain, just ones that constantly come back to that place where we say, it's all about Jesus, that's the only way I'm standing, that's the only reason I'm standing, I want to get rid of this pride in my life, I want to never enter. Those are the broken heart and the contrite spirit people. We want to be like that, Lord. We want you to speak to us in this church. We want to hear you, Father. There's so many people here this morning, you don't hear the voice of God because there's so many other voices speaking to you. Who's that? Who's that person? Is there anybody here that you hear so much, you're confused on what God is? Let's pray for you. Father, I just pray death to those voices in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. There's so much fear in you. I don't know what it is if something happened, but I just want to speak death to those voices. There's never a calm moment in your life spiritually. It's like a storm in your mind constantly. I want to rebuke that in Jesus' name. Father, let this child of you hear your voice, that still small voice. Father, I just pray that circumstances will die around her that keeps her so agitated in Jesus' name. Father, she will find peace in the storm. Maybe the storms won't stop, but it will feel like they're stopping in Jesus' name, Father, and she will be able to hear you. Father, I pray that you will raise her up as a mighty woman of God, Lord. You doubt it so much. You doubt it. And there's been so many words and people, but this morning the word of affirmation is coming from Christ himself and saying, you're fine. You're my child and you're going to walk in this. Father, I pray that you'll bless her in good works. Yes, just bless in the good works, Lord, and life is going to start making sense. Her future is going to start making sense in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for everything. Lord, I thank you that we're going to come humbly before you and repent. I pray for just husbands here this morning, Lord. They're going to carry that anointing into their house. Their house is going to be a place of worship where we listen and we respond to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want any specific prayer here this morning, just stay here, say hello. Let's pray for that. But thank you, everyone. Have a nice Sunday. I have decided.